This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
It was reaching into the garbage and taking something out. That's digging.
You think to yourself, what the hell? I'll just eat some trash.
And the Bulldog.
Was this item that you pulled out of there right on top?
Well, there was nothing above it.
It was not trash.
Was it in the trash?
Yes.
Then it was trash.
On WGR.
You go into the garbage to retrieve something you've dug through the garbage.
My hand might have brushed against the bag.
Well, you, my friend, have crossed the line that divides man and bum. You are now a bum.
Sports Radio 550.
Remember the Louis Oliver game?
Yep.
Joe, do you know the Louis Oliver game?
Oh, of course.
No,
think about it all the time.
You're making fun of me. I thought he could know it. 1992.
Yeah. I don't even know what sport we're talking about, to be honest, right now.
Okay. Well, you'll find out if you don't walk out. Louis Oliver game. Bills in 92 were maybe 4-0. That's the year. That's the comeback game year. Like that game, that season got a little sloppy, but you know, relatively speaking, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they went to the Super Bowl again, but
right. They
started great, and they had the Dolphins at home, and they were a 10.5-point favorite. I read today for that game.
Okay,
they lost 37-10. Louis Oliver intercepting Kelly in the Bills end zone, and then going all the way back,
102-yard return or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, I also think it was 102.
Yeah.
So
I hope that's right.
They were a 10.5-point favorite against a Marino Shula team in 1992, and they got trounced that day.
Right.
The Bills were a 16.5-point underdog last year at Minnesota and won easily, 27-6, 27-0 until the last minute. And that's the number this week right now, as of now, 16.5 against the Dolphins. Either way, who the quarterback is for Miami will be something to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Rosen, well, how about this guy's career so far? He's just getting destroyed there. Everything is going wrong. And it's already, of course, his second team. And on his first team as a rookie last year, this was happening then too.
Right.
So he is really, he's nowhere. And then you have Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Last week, he goes in, and they're losing, going nowhere, and they almost win.
Right.
He helped them come back, and they almost win the game against Washington.
Lovable Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Like, does who Miami starts at quarterback move the line here at all? Like, who would you rather face? Wouldn't every Bills fan say Rosen?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Because, you know, whoever is going to be catching passes for Miami, you know that Fitz is capable of just, you know, he's gonna make some throws, he's gonna take some chances, and the line can be fine. Like, if you are not completely on top of your situation, he could put up a day on you. I mean, he's capable of that. I don't want to say that regardless of who's on the field with him. I mean, that maybe Miami really takes that out for a spin. Maybe that never really happens. Maybe the closest he gets to that is last week, coming into the game and rallying them and still falling short because there's not enough around him, or I don't know what. But sure, I think Josh Rosen is, I think Bills fans, especially if you get a certain kind of game, would take delight in that, because Rosen, I think, is the face of the non-Allen believers. Like, that was the guy the Bills passed on. That was the guy maybe many people wanted the Bills to take instead of Allen. And so it's still pretty early in the season for any kind of a victory lap. But if Allen has a good day against Miami, which he's already pretty much had two pretty good days at least, well, a really great day at the end of the season, and I think the game down there was pretty good too, you'd have a lot of fans stick, you know, puffing out their chests, going, look at our guy, and look at your guy. Your guy's getting his face pounded in. If it's Rosen, you know, Fitz would be, you know, it's hard to be mad about Fitz. You know, not that people, as I'm describing, would be mad at Rosen, but, you know, there's just, he's the other guy, is what he is. So,
do you think if Fitzpatrick started and Miami won, it would be the biggest win of his career? What's the biggest win of Ryan Fitzpatrick's career? Tampa, you know, that started last year really great. Winston was suspended. They went to New Orleans week one. They were a huge underdog in that game. That was like everybody's survivor pool pick. Week one was the Saints as the sure thing to beat Tampa Bay, and the Bucs won. You know, here he had the Patriots win. He had highlights, maybe another the Jets season. He had a good season for the Jets.
Maybe the Jet game, I don't remember the sequence, but they came here with 10 wins already, right? And he threw three, or was it even four picks in the second half? I think it was at least three, and that got away from them. Maybe the game they won before that to get to 10 wins to look like, okay, I got a real shot at the playoffs. Maybe that's his answer for the biggest win of his career. I don't know
what game that is, do you?
No, I don't. Okay. Offhand. But beating the Patriots during this run here, I might qualify.
It should have been the game in Foxborough.
I know.
I want people to remember that about me. I'm selfish like that. I want people to remember about me that Mike Shope could not get over the game the Bills lost in Foxborough in 2011. They won here. They beat him here in 2011. I'm not sure if it was that year, but I should know, I guess, if I care about that much.
It might have been. It might have been the game there in that same year.
37-31.
I'd have to look, but it could be that year.
How they managed to lose that game with as easily as they were just breezing down the field, up and down the field against New England, that the shot of Brady on the bench, somebody that listens to the show a lot knew I was going to say that just then.
Right. 2012.
The shot of Brady on the bench.
Thanks, Joe.
By himself, looking around, we're going to lose to Buffalo. And then the pick.
Right.
I mean, we all like Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's just a tough one right now.
Yeah.
This is a kind of an uncomfortable, or not uncomfortable necessarily, but a new place here for the Bills and for fans. A monstrous favorite. They have not been favored in any game by this much in more than 25 years. Kelly, I mean, those teams were against the Patriots and the Colts in those days. They were favored by double digits quite often against those teams. Like, they were just patsies, or even the Jets. But, of course, like, not since. And now you have that here for a Bills team that, you know, is 4-1. We don't really know if they're good. We know their defense is good. We know their schedule is easy, right? That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Right. It really is. Miami is just that bad. Like, the Bills are nice. They're getting some respect, and that's, you know, they've earned some respect. I mean, the defense is good. They did limit the Patriots to 11 first downs in a game that they lost. So, like, the one quality opponent you know they really dealt with, they did a really good job on. So the defense is respected, and that gets you, you know, a certain amount. But it's really, like, Miami is just that bad that a Bills team that is not piling up points, that does not have a proven scoring offense, has 16.5 points. I did not think it would get that big. Before we knew what the number was, I just didn't think, because the Bills' offense isn't more proven, is more bankable, that they would get that big a number. But I guess, you know, they might think, the Miami's just not going to be able to move the ball on them. Like, if Tom Brady can't move the ball on you, what is Miami going to do, whether it's Rosen or Fitz? That's what that line is, I think, telling you.
Have you watched any Dolphin games? Joe, have you watched any Dolphin games?
Via Red Zone, yes, but not like beginning to end. That'd be terrible.
What? How bad are the numbers? They have been outscored by...
I have a stat for you while you're looking that up. They showed on the game this past week that their touchdown they scored, Fitzpatrick, Devontae Parker, was the first points they had scored in the second half all season.
Of any game,
They've
right.
been outscored by 138 points.
Right.
In five games.
42-4, 180 against.
What was that record?
42 and 180.
I mean.
They're last in the league in points. They are last in the league in points allowed. They are last in the league in yards allowed. They are second last in the league in yards. Ooh. They are second last in the league in forcing turnovers and fourth last in avoiding them. They are last in passing touchdowns allowed. They are second last in passing touchdowns. They are last in both net yards per attempt for and against. They are last in rushing yards, second last in rushing yards, and second last in rushing yards against. Where are they good? Where is like the what is the best?
How's their kicker?
Yeah, do they have a kicker?
Sanders. He's all right, I think.
Oh, Sanders.
Jason Sanders.
He doesn't know the Louis Oliver game. Right, he doesn't even know what sport it is, but oh, Sanders.
I mean, they are giving up 36 points a game.
Oh, Sanders.
It's just
oh, Sanders.
It's incredible.
Oh, Sanders. Yeah, maybe he's
yeah, I don't know.
He is 5 for 8.
That's not good.
That's not great.
That's not good either.
Field goals. He's 5 for 8.
Good. That was their punter. Is their punter good?
So I like, you know, this is just a fun year. And the schedule makes it reasonable, more reasonable to, like, really think big. I don't know how big fans are willing to go, though. The idea, almost unanimously, like, the idea for the Bills this year was make the playoffs and maybe even win a game. Like, that's undoubtedly a good season. And while nothing has been decided yet, they're in such a good position to do that already. Like, does anybody want to turn the amp up a little bit on this thing? That's the trade deadline, too. You know, you can get into the trade deadline with that.
Yep.
But I don't know. Like, I'm watching Kansas City lose, and whatever the Browns are a mess, the Steelers, the Chargers. It is just, like, perfect. Other than New England, and again, like when they played New England, that was tough. That was a game that was right there. And I want to think that, you know, especially being here, that this year is different and mm-hmm. that maybe when they play New England again, they will also be like right there with a chance to win. The other side of this is their offense. I mean, the other side, the butt in right. all this with this team is, can they score enough? It's why their win total in the first place wasn't higher. And so maybe this game isn't going to be the game that tells you the most about the Bills because it's against the Dolphins. But if they have an implied total of 28 points, maybe they can roll it up.
Yeah, I mean, I said this to Sal. I'm like, I don't know how much truth there is in it, other than just a thing that might make you feel good. But if they can get off in this game and find some things in the passing game that they like doing, even if it's just like Allen connecting on a couple of longer passes and feeling like, okay, I got that now. I'll be better at this the back half of the season, something like that. I mean, I'm going to stop short. I don't want to get yelled at about momentum because it's not that I'm thinking of. It's just prove that you can do it, do some things on offense against this meek opponent, and maybe you'll discover something that you are good at that you can implement here and maybe even spring on some teams later on in the year, something like that. Like, I can't get to much more than what you described as the good year yet for me, because I just 4-1 is nice. I want to walk right up to assuming 6-2, and because that your next three games are Miami, Philly, and Washington, and you don't have to lose to Philly, but you damn well better beat Miami and Washington with the way their seasons are going. So there's your six. The Philly game is more challenging, and that would be really great to get. But all the same, I get to 6-2, then I'm looking at the next chunk of games leading up to Dallas, and I don't know. Can I get all of those? That's Cleveland and Miami on the road and then Denver here. Then I'm having a year where like that the bottom's not falling out, like record-wise. And I don't know what my offense looks like in those in those games leading, you know, running all through that. Obviously, if I am better on offense and I'm getting more points, then you're going to feel all the more. good about it, but I'm going to need something real. I need to see a record that I haven't seen before first. And by before, I mean, you know, in Joe's lifetime, you know,
in this generation,
you know, like 5-1, 5-2, like we've seen that and we've seen it unravel. So get me to 6-2 and then get me to, I don't know, 8-3, 9-2 even. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm within a game maybe of the Patriots, depending on how they have a rocky looking stretch.
It could stay close.
It could stay close. And if it stays close, then I'm going there with the division still sort of, it's possible. Then I start thinking about, okay, you know, I go in there and I beat them. Then I'm thinking anything's possible.
Well, that's week 16.
Right.
And
I mean, it's
obviously
right.
Then.
So, but I need to get to like Thanksgiving with 8 or 9 wins before I'm thinking about anything bigger than just getting in. And we'll see who we play in wild card round.
Well, Browns will be interesting. Really, it can kind of only go wrong before that game with the quality of competition. I mean, the Dolphins and the Redskins, it goes wrong if you lose those games. Otherwise, you're just still flying without turbulence very smoothly. Cleveland's interesting. Denver could be interesting. And then the last quarter is really good. 803-0550 is our number. Talking Bills, they are a 16.5-point favorite over the Dolphins Sunday. Their highest or largest point spread as a favorite in more than 25 years. Lines are open for you. This is Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's interesting because there is a real divide, because still kind of amusing almost that there are fans that come up to us and they're like, man, I really want to get a win today. I want to win the game. And there is such a divide between those fans, those diehards that show up, you know, to the stadium on a hot October's afternoon in South Florida, and those that are on social media most often watching the game from home going, I really want them to lose because that's ultimately best for the team. And that divide, I think, is something that you were probably alluding to with the Buffalo Sabres fan. There is a real divide between almost like the internet understanding the conversation and the fans that, like, I just like sports because I like watching my team win and I want to enjoy watching a game. And that divide is definitely playing out with the Dolphins.
Oh, I like listening to that. That's apparently Chris Whittingham, Dolphins Radio Network on WGR this morning. And I guess I never thought of it as a divide between fans who went to the stadium and not. Or went to the arena and not. But maybe it is on some level. You're more invested in it. He's kind of putting it, though, also as, I'm just here for the game and the beer. You know, I want to win.
Right.
I want my team to win. What else is there? My father-in-law asked me something last night. We got into a conversation, and I guess it was watching Detroit and Green Bay. And he's like, who are the teams that you root for when, like, it's not a bet or in fantasy? Like, who do you root for? I'm like, there's no such thing for any of them.
It doesn't exist in your world, right?
And the teams are assembled so randomly. It's players from all different places anyway. I mean, they're going to move around in 2 years anyway. Like, why get attached? He's like, well, I don't like Dallas. I've never liked Dallas. Like, well, that's good. That's right. Fine. Yeah. You get to choose.
Yeah.
You can not like Dallas.
I'm pretty much there on Dallas.
Sure.
I have a hard but what gets tricky for me, and this is not like because of fantasy or anything, like I like watching Prescott has really grown on me. Like I even though they've lost 3 in a row here and people are I think he's better than I thought he was at the beginning of the season. Like the light has kind of gone on for me with him.
I agree.
And I like watching them play. I like the talent, you know? So that sort of that can be troubling, you know, if you start to like guys on teams that you are predisposed to disliking, that makes it kind of challenging. But yeah, I mean, there are definitely, I hate Atlanta. Like, so, and I like Julio Jones and I like Matt Ryan well enough, but I can't root for Atlanta.
You hate teams. We hate teams that bore us, but still get into like the important game windows.
Yeah.
It's a Sunday night game is on, and it's a team that we're bored with. Did you watch Pittsburgh Chargers?
I did.
I didn't watch that game. Was that like appealing to you?
It looked great. I mean, the Chargers had the powder blues on. You got the Steelers, their fans taking over that stadium, which happens, I think, no matter who plays there. Yeah, like that looked like a good matchup. Like it really wasn't. You know, it's kind of funny on the intro, like the Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, like sit down before they take the commercial break before kickoff. Al Michaels kind of sheepishly said, "We don't really know what we're in for. Like it's sort of a mystery because you know you got quarterback injury and the Chargers aren't as good as we thought they were going to be, and they got a lot of injuries, and it was as close as you'll get to like the network announcer apologizing for the game being there in the first place, because it looked like that should be you know two Titans in the conference playing on Sunday night, and it was not that, and even the one that's more wounded won the game." The road team won the game. They kind of dominated the game, really.
The Chargers are so dumb.
Yeah.
They're always dumb. They're always supposed to be good, and they disappoint you.
Right.
But somehow.
Yeah. I've got, like, Washington. Like, first, the nickname. I get mad when I say Redskins. I don't want to say it. But sometimes I just do. It's like it's an old habit. But I try to just refer to them as Washington. It's like, that's a newer reason to dislike them, I guess. I guess I wasn't as woke about it 10 years ago, but I've hated Washington in the NFL going back to like the Super Bowl 26. Like, just get off my TV, Washington. The Hogs, all that, Theismann, just ugh, I just cannot stand Washington.
Hey, I think I saw him at the airport in Orlando today.
Oh, yeah?
Joe Theismann. I think it was him. How do we find out? I mean, I had a chance to find out by asking, excuse me, are you Joe Theismann? I did not do that.
Yeah.
I think I saw him, though.
Well, you blew your chance then.
Yeah, I don't know how we find
to
out.
Confirm it.
Do you have a Twitter?
I don't,
ask him.
Probably.
Anyway, Washington's on the list. I can't root for them. I don't care. I'm not saying I avoid their guys in fantasy situations, but I don't happen to have any.
This game last night, I know why we're talking about it. My father-in-law and I with Detroit on, like, Green Bay is a team I think most people casually like.
Yeah.
And they just, I mean, last night they were so lucky. This league, I wish I could tell you that I thought it would matter. I wish I could tell you that I think it matters what the league is doing with the officiating, like how bad it is. But when has it ever mattered? Like, when was it ever... Probably you don't notice it when it's better because you don't have these glaring errors, and now everything is just so easy to find and just stumble upon on Twitter, and you see little videos or pictures of penalties that were missed or calls. The guy was down actually, and they didn't catch it. It's just now it's more ingrained in you that there are these mistakes. And somehow games go by and they're just not even addressed, like they're not even necessarily even talked about. So that should be some kind of fundamental problem for the NFL if more and more people over you know the course of time feel like just the games aren't as legitimate as they'd like because of all these mistakes. But I don't know. I mean, I've felt for many years like it was like that. We just didn't have Twitter. We didn't have the slow motion and everything that's so perfect now in terms of the technology. But, you know, is there holding on every play or isn't there? I mean, illegal contact and these kinds of penalties are called somewhat randomly. They happen all the time. They're not called all the time. Professional football still has no idea what to do about pick plays. They don't know interference when it happens. They call it when it isn't interference. They called T.Y. Hilton, who wasn't even doing anything, but he was standing there. There was another play like that Sunday, I forget who. And that's pass interference. And now, of course, I can challenge that. But it doesn't really matter if I do, because you're not going to change it.
We're not changing anything.
I mean, it's just beyond. Well, it's just beyond, really.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so bad, and it really should matter, but I don't know if it does. I don't know if it really ultimately matters at all to the NFL. It will say that it does. Oh, we want it to be the best. Actually, our officials are underrated. Actually, they get more calls right than you think. This and so on and so on. But when do they ever really do anything? Like, what would they do? What are they going to do to change the tide with these reviews and everything? Are they going to do it?
I don't know. A part of me wants to say add another layer of replay. Like, just keep adding it till it just can't stop. I mean, I don't know. That doesn't seem realistic. But I certainly don't think that they're going to junk it, replay. I think their biggest problem is that there is something in place that is supposed to fix some plays. And if you've got things in place that are supposed to fix some plays, and you don't get all those plays right either, all you're doing is drawing attention to the things that you get wrong, and that's what shows up on your device, on your Twitter feed. And it's like, how absurd is this? There was a play in the Kansas City-Houston game where Kelsey gets tackled, and they called interference, and I think that got challenged and overturned, one of the few that has happened there, because they ruled that the ball was already in the—whatever they ruled— it was proven by video that it was wrong, but they still changed the call anyway or whatever.
This is a really interesting one.
It numbs the brain. But you know, I had no obligation to watch football on Sunday. I was on the road for the 1 o'clock games. What do you think I did driving home? I found the radio version of the Red Zone channel and listened to that for 3 hours driving home from Cleveland. And as soon as I got home, I parked my butt on the couch and I watched the end of the 1 o'clock games, and I watched Dallas and the Jets. Maybe it wouldn't have held my attention if the Cowboys had ran out to a lead in that game. I would have thought, okay, well, this is over. But it was interesting almost immediately because the Jets were ahead. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to stay for this. I ended up just watching like 8 or 9 or maybe 10 hours of football that wasn't the Bills. And it's not, you know, all this officiating nonsense is happening all around it, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, me too.
If I were ever to give up on the NFL, it wouldn't be because of the officiating ineptitude, I don't think. It would be because, you know, the league is just gross and what it stands for, and you know, concussions and like larger issues than, you know, referees, you know, like. I don't know. I didn't need replay because complaining about officials is like, that's just a part of the gig. You know, they screwed that up. I got screwed. Okay, great. That sucks. Move on.
It's just so easy and prevalent how these mistakes happen, and you have easy access to see them. You see proof and you watch games. You just have all the more reason to think back and question, what is it? Why do I care about this so seriously? Like, why? It's just, it can, for me, it does end up at me asking myself, are you sure you want to take it seriously? And I choose to follow it avidly and make a career around it and all the fantasy stuff and everything. But I know where the line is.
Mm-hmm.
And when Detroit loses that game last night, I mean, if you are a Detroit fan and you're just like irate because of it, I get it, but you got to know better. I mean, you just got to know better that happens in the NFL. Here's Glenn on WGR. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Good.
I don't know. The thing I was looking at, I mean, obviously it's a line of sight issue, I think, in some cases where they can't truly see the play, so they could only go on their reaction from the other player. But what about putting them in, like, the booth where they could actually watch televisions and then radio down to officials on the field and tell them in real time what's going on?
I don't know. Maybe. I just don't want more rules and more stuff until the day I die. And that sounds kind of fundamentally like more officials or more. I don't know. Why do you need officials on the field in any sport anymore? Why do you need officials on the field in any sport anymore? You want to do that, do that. But I don't know if I do. Thanks, Glenn. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. This is WGR.
I can genuinely say that is not a thought that I'm having, so it would be unfair to our fans for me to have any indication about what I may think the future is as far as a head coach.
All right. Jerry Jones, Dallas has been losing. Not good for Dallas.
Yep, three in a row they've lost.
Three in a row. Now they have the Eagles Sunday night, by the way. I like that game. I know the Dallas thing is like they're always on, but I can get with Philadelphia at Dallas. The caller before, Glenn. So Glenn calls up and says, maybe why not just have an extra official in the booth that can see the whole field and make calls from there? Like, that's a fine idea. I don't know.
That was talked about after the Ram-Saint thing happened. There was a thought that they would just do that, and then rather than do that and have like final 2 minutes calls like that could be disputed, you'd have the ability for the eye in the sky to buzz the refs and say, hey, you missed this, there's a penalty on the defense or whatever. And they decided instead to just have the challenge system remain intact and just spread it out to include pass interference calls.
The other idea isn't my favorite idea, because as a fan, it's really annoying when you think there's been a touchdown and then a certain number of seconds go by and then you realize there isn't. And like, okay, well, it's always with football. Where do you want to draw that line? How often, mm-hmm. how strictly do you want to enforce it? And they are, which was totally predictable and talked about in here all the time before the season started. They're having that problem with pass interference because it's all pass interference, but just like only some of it really is worthy. But it's all interference. It's the worst. Here's what I'm done with, though. Putting an official in the booth, I don't know. It's all so over-officious already and so cluttered. But here's what I'm done with. I am done with the refs in the booth that are on the air.
Oh, Lord.
They are constantly telling you, they're constantly predicting wrong what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Last night, one of the plays last night was, it was John Perry. ESPN uses John Perry, who refereed Super Bowls. And he goes, was it the Kerryon Johnson touchdown or was it a different play? It's like, I think he's short there. And then they went to commercial or something. And then he came right back and the ruling was different and he supported it. And really, like, they are wrong so often in that role. They're not bad people or anything. Like, they're trying to explain the thing to you. But when it is put to them to tell the viewers, what are they going to do here? They don't know. And then what's the point? It's kind of like replay itself. Mm-hmm. Replay is supposed to fix the mistakes, but replay very often doesn't fix the mistakes. These guys are up there to tell you what this call it actually should be, and they can't. It's too hard. There you go, Glenn, and everybody like thinking like Glenn here. There's an official in the booth. He's not working the game. But he's everything else. He's experienced.
Right. He's telling you what he thinks he saw and what should be the right call, and it still ends up not that way, which would indicate that you could argue with that too. There's room for that to be wrong, and like, so what does that really solve? You know, I got done with it this summer. I don't really remember why, but I was watching the Hall of Fame game, I think it was. So it was the NBC crew with the Hall of Fame. It was a preseason game that crew was doing. And whoever their guy is, there was a helmet-to-helmet thing. And the officiating guy talked very authoritatively and definitively, like, it has to be this. But look, here he lowers his head, whatever, and just is clear what he thinks. Tony Dungy kind of mildly disagreed, and the guy just backed right off.
Yeah.
The guy's probably like, oh, you know what? Actually, Tony, you're right. And I'm like, what just happened? Yeah. You're the guy that's supposed to be right about this stuff, and you just ran and hid right away. Like, it just...
That's right. That happens too. Were you paying close enough attention last night when this was happening to Detroit? It really was something that happened to Detroit. That Booger McFarlane in the booth was like the first time I ever sort of liked him. He was hammering the officials. Yeah. The Trey Flowers plays two times. He's like, that's not even. There's the same call again, and it wasn't even right last time or this time.
Right.
And the referee was trying to be a little bit diplomatic about it, but the guy kind of did what you said should happen. Which is, no, he didn't say this, but here's what he basically said. I'm sick of that crap explanation. That's not it. Don't tell me this was ambiguous or something like that. Like, he sort of went off. It was good. And if only you watched a sporting event and it wasn't one in 10,000 times that an announcer ever took a stand on something, it would actually be interesting. But, you know, of all the guys, like this guy, just I can't stand listening to him. He's just all over the place, and it's obvious stuff, and it's cliches and everything. But there it was last night. Like, no, this is wrong. And he was right. So good for him. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, we're at 803-0550. This is WGR.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.